scientists posted this picture on the Bigfoot Research Organization website. It says it appears to be a juvenile Sasquatch. Took the picture in the Allegheny. I tried to say that with a straight face. He took the picture in the Allegheny National Forest, but he will not tell us the exact location. So thousands of Bigfoot fans don't show up to it. Pennsylvania Game Commission says it appears to be a bear with a severe case of skin disease.
All kinds of legends out there. I remember when I was a teenager, the legend of Bigfoot, right? You heard that one before. Legend of, whoa, we're having a little sound issue here. The legend of Billy the Kid and all kinds of unsolved mysteries surrounding various stories that we're familiar with. Noah's Ark and then, of course, there's the story about Elvis. You know, it's believed that Elvis didn't actually take his life, but that was staged. And that's an unsolved mystery in the mind, particularly in the minds of those who love Elvis Presley, that he staged a suicide so that he could exit the public scene and enter into a private life that was more, well, more confidential and more enjoyable. Well, unsolved mysteries of many kinds, I think, that we could talk about today. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, I believe that Solomon introduces this this idea of an unsolved mystery in a way that really eclipses anything that we've ever looked at before, anything that you've ever heard before. Thousands of unsolved mysteries exist today, but I believe there is nothing greater than what Solomon addresses in the 8th chapter of Ecclesiastes when he talks about the unjust who seem to prosper in life, and yet those who are righteous who seem to suffer. That's a mystery. And he takes time in his journal to write these thoughts down and to pull them together in such a way that we might begin to wrap our minds around this. And it was very difficult for Solomon, as you understand, in our study of Ecclesiastes, that life under the sun was a difficult experience, to say the least. All that he had ever experienced had brought him to a sense of conclusion that it's just empty. It leaves you high and dry. You feel empty as a result of pursuing whatever it may be. And for Solomon, on this occasion, he writes down his thoughts and he's struggling with this whole matter about the unjust who seem to triumph in life. That's the first mystery that I want us to look at, beginning in verse 10. The mystery of the unjust who seem to prosper and triumph in life. Solomon writes, "And I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone before the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city when they had done so." This is also vanity. But what is he talking about in that verse? I want to read to you what the Living Paraphrase says about this verse, its translation or paraphrase. It says this, "I've seen the wicked buried, and as their friends returned from the cemetery, having forgotten all the dead men's evil deeds, those men were praised in the very city where they had committed their many crimes." Isn't that odd? Solomon looks at that and he says, this isn't right. This isn't right that a man could live his life, no matter how successful he might become, step along people in the process of life, prosper, succeed, do well, triumph in this life. And in the end, when everybody knows the rotten guy that he was, they come to his funeral and they say all of these pious platitudes and they talk about how great he was and they forget all the things that he ever did, all of the wickedness of his life. Solomon looked at that and said, that's a mystery to me. How could this go on? How can this happen? How can someone who lives their life totally apart from God come to the end of their life and everybody get all excited about it? Was it because those around him just were still in fear? They refused to get over their yes-men mentality and really be honest about it. This guy, he was low down. Now, how many times do you hear that at a funeral service? This guy was terrible. You've probably never been to a funeral service like that. You know, so oftentimes we come to a person's life and we're struggling to say something good. Now, being a pastor, I'm at that place where I'm conducting someone's funeral service. And while it's a joy to rejoice over the lives of those who've gone to be with the Lord, and like Miss Laura and others, There are some funeral messages that the best thing you can do is keep it short. Short. Most families like it short anyways, but you need to be shorter than short, okay? Solomon looks out there and says, you know, you look at life and you see people who are getting ahead. And what's the end result of this? The end result of this is that other people take note of it and they look at it and they think, well, the unjust triumph. Well, then that means that I can do what I'm doing and there won't be any checks and balances. That evil is left unchecked. And so Solomon is, well, he's bemoaning this fact. He says this is empty. It's vain. It just doesn't carry any weight. Notice in verse 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. So Solomon is lamenting this fact that the people seem to get ahead. Others see that and they think, they conclude that they can get away with whatever they're doing. And there's no justice in that system. There's no execution of justice. And so Solomon is, he's just pointing this out. This is a mystery. How can this go on? How long will it go on? And when evil is left unchecked and when there's no execution of judgment for evil deeds, then the notion is that somehow we can do what we're doing, get away with it. Nobody will ever know. In other words, there's just never going to be a day of reckoning for this. Never going to be a day of reckoning. Yet we know, based on our study, that there is a day of reckoning. Which brings us really to verse 12, because this is where he's going to hammer home his point as far as those who think that they can live in an unjust way and triumph. Yes, it's a mystery. You probably wondered, how does that guy? I'm doing everything right in life, and look what he's doing. He's doing it all wrong. He gets to the top. I'm doing it right, and this is where I'm at. You ever felt that way before? Felt that way, haven't you? Verse 12, though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God. In other words, we see his faith surfacing here. He said, I know this thing. There are some things I don't know, but this one thing I know. I know this. For them that fear God, which fear before him, it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he fears not before God. In other words, there's coming a day when the unjust will not triumph. But what about now? Because see, God created us, and he put us in time and space, and we have to live out this life under the sun, and we see these things going on. And there is a temptation to look at life and look at these injustices and say, that's how it is. Let's just accept it. Let's just embrace it. In fact, some would say, let's just embrace it as a way of life. And Solomon's saying, oh, no. No, not at all. Because there is a day of reckoning. He says, I know this. Now, there's a lot that he doesn't know, right? He's confessed to that. And he's saying there's some things that we'll never resolve, and they're unsolvable here in the here and the now. But there's some things I know, that if you fear God, and that you, and that word is used 3 times, fear God, that's the place. Fear God, keep your eye on the ball. Listen, when you're looking out there and it seems like people are getting ahead and they're getting on base in the wrong kind of way, so to speak, and listen, you just gotta keep your eye on the ball. Because if you don't, if it's not about fearing God, what will happen is that you'll be focused on so many other things and all the injustices, and you'll look at life and say, that's not right, it's not fair. And even if you may know why it's going on, listen, that in and of itself is not satisfactory. It leaves you dissatisfied. I know it, why it happened. It still doesn't make it right, though, does it? And so Solomon laments the fact of the unjust triumphing in life. Keep your eye on the ball. Fear God is what he's saying. Faith is the only bridge over troubled water. This is the only way to get from here to there, is simply to trust the Lord and believe that he's capable of taking you to the place that you need to be. In the end, those who fear God, and that is the conclusion of the whole matter in chapter 12, as we're getting there slowly but surely, in the end, those who fear God, it will go well for those who fear God. God will have his say. He will have his say. So don't give up on that. So I want you to see something else in verse 14, because there's another mystery, and really dovetails with what he's talking about in verses 10 through 13. Yes, there are those who are unjust, who seem to triumph in life, and we need to keep in mind that God has not fallen asleep at the wheel. But know this, that there's the mystery of the unfair consequence. Why are these things happening? Verse 14. There is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said, this also is chasing after the wind. Vanity is empty. We look out there and we look at people who are getting ahead in life. A wicked person, an unrighteous person, they get ahead. Why is that happening to them? Yet you take someone over here, they go to work, they do the right thing, they have honesty and integrity, they're doing the right thing at work, and you stand for righteousness, and at the end of the day, you lose your job. See, that's not the way it's supposed to happen, you see? I'm supposed to honor God, I do the right things, and at the end of the day, I keep my job, I get a promotion, I get advancement within the company. But what happens when that doesn't occur? That's what Solomon is lamenting. I've seen the unfair consequences. I've seen good people do what's right and stand for the right thing, and yet in the end, it just didn't pan out for them. In the end, here under the sun. But God takes note of all these things. I think ultimately what Solomon is telling us, we just need to keep our poise. We need to be steady. We need to understand that God is at work, even when men are evil and they are destructive, even when things are not going as we would like for them to go, God is still at work. He never abandons ship. He never checks out, not even for a moment. And even when things are not going as we would like for them to go, we need to keep our poise. Steady. Steady. Because He's in control. Don't lose heart. God hasn't stepped out of the picture of your life. Even though you've done the right thing and it's not working out just like you wanted it to be, listen, you've done the right thing, right? You can honor God in that, and there is honor in maintaining your faith and keeping your poise and resting in the truth and simply embracing by faith what Solomon said, I know it shall be well for them that fear God. I know that. Cognitively, yes, I do. I understand that. Intellectually, yes, I do. I embrace it. Experientially, yes, I do. I know that. I believe it. By faith, I embrace this truth that God is God. And He'll be with me to the end if I keep my eyes on Him. Don't abandon the Lord in the midst of your struggle and difficulty in life. Don't lose hope. It doesn't always have to be that way. There will come a day and things will change. Don't give up. I know it seems like a mystery, and you're saying, Lord God, why is this happening to me? But if God were to give you the answer, and sometimes He does, but most of the time He doesn't. If God were to give you the answer, you would just do as we do when we're little children, and our parents give us. Sometimes answers in and of themselves are not enough. This is why I think the Apostle Paul said that it's the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. There's something of the presence of God in the midst of what we're going through in time and space under the sun that settles us. It helps us to keep our poise. It's the truth that anchors us in the midst of all of these things that are going on. And while we don't have answers, we do know the one who holds the answers. And I don't want to use a bunch of cliches, but certainly I think we ultimately it gets down to, are we going to faith it? Are we going to fear God? Some of us have opted to fake it. And we've just decided, well, we'll just get through it. We'll make everybody else think it's okay. Listen, just simply believe that God's able. He'll see you through to the end. Keep your eye on Him and know that He's going to be with you to the end. And there's something else in the midst of all this, because you can look in life and you can allow life to get you so down and become so cynical. Verse 15, notice what he says. I believe he's talking about this untimely pleasure or the mystery of untimely pleasure in verse 15. Then I commended enjoyment or mirth, because a man has no better thing under the sun than to eat, to drink, and to be merry. For that shall abide with him of his labor the days of his life which God gives under the sun. You can look at life and say, you know, I want to resolve this. I want to take care of that. And you can be consumed with all of these things which are difficult to resolve at best. Solomon's saying, you know, listen, just take a break from it. Leave it alone mentally. You need to let go of it. Now, some of us are that way. When we get on to something, we're going to hold on to it. We don't want to let go of it. Well, that's what he's saying. Let go of it for a moment. There's no answer. There's no resolution in this time, in this space, under the sun. Empty. So take life rather than wasting it trying to find all these answers and solutions and trying to problem solve everything, and enjoy your life. You only have a certain number of days to live, right? Enjoy it. I commended, he says, then I commended that enjoyment or that mirth. It's something good for your life. Don't let life overwhelm you. Enjoy the better things. And this is not the first time he's used that word better. In chapter 7, several times, over and over and over, he talks about the better life. There is a better life. There's something better than living in the misery of your present existence. There's something better than living in the cynicism of life. Because when life grabs a hold of you and it gets a death grip on you and you don't have answers to some of these mysteries in life, it will shrivel you up. It will shrivel you up. He's simply saying, eat, drink, take in life. Don't miss it for the moment. Don't miss it. Don't let man's failures overshadow God's goodness in your life. Yeah, they did that, and he did this, and she did that, and blah, 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 and it goes, the list goes on, right? But God's good. And he's good to them that fear him. And he is faithful in the end. He is faithful to them that fear him and that walk with him. Enjoy life. Stick with God in the midst of those tensions of life when you don't really know what's going to happen next. You don't like what's happened, but you are thinking that, you know, tomorrow is going to be just like today. It's awful. It hadn't been good. It's wrong. They shouldn't have done this, that, and the other. And yes, that's probably true. But what about now? Are you going to be eat up, consumed with these things in life, or are you going to allow God to see you through it to the end? He's going to see you through to the end. To make a life a matter of pursuing all of these unknown things and trying to resolve them, he's simply saying, it's vain, it's empty, it's going to leave you high and dry. You're not going to find any satisfaction there. In the end, you're going to find that in your pursuit of trying to find those answers and reconcile everything, that it's going to eat you up in the process. So take in life. Take in life. Embrace the Lord. Don't give up on Him. I want you to see something else in verses 16 and 17. And we're going to add a little clip I was going to show you, but I'm going to reserve that for another time. I want you to see something else in verse 16. Two last points I want to make, life points or insights for our life that I think that we need to take with us in verse 16 and 17. When I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes. Then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. Because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. Two things. First of all, God's mysteries, they just defy human explanation. I wish I had a good answer for some of the tragedies that I have seen in the lives of, in some of your lives, the lives of people who love the Lord, losses in your life. We simply point you to Jesus. It'd be nice to know why certain things happen, but, you know, as a pastor, sometimes I feel like I'm caught in the crossfire of these discussions between men and God, because I'm a pastor and because those of us who pastor understand that we're thrown some difficult questions as though we're God. Now, you know we're not, right? You knew that? We're not. But we're thrown these questions as though we're supposed to say, this is the answer. And I wish I did have some answers. I really wish at times as a pastor I had a little formula that I could plug in people's questions and it would just you know, spit out the answer, and I could memorize the answer, and then I could give it to you the next day, that I could state it in those terms, and then it would resolve it. But there are some mysteries in life that defy human explanation, and no matter how hard I try, no matter how hard Solomon tried, he just couldn't wrap his mind around some of these things. It didn't cause him to give up. No, in fact, we begin to see the faith of Solomon surface and come to the surface and support him and strengthen him during this time of journaling through his life. Life is so complicated, and at times it's difficult to figure out. It's just difficult to come up with the answers. You say, well, but I want answers. That's what most of us want, are answers. I want an answer now. But you see, if we had all the answers, it wouldn't require much faith to walk through life, would it? If we had all the answers, we wouldn't have to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding and all our ways acknowledging Him, knowing that He would direct our path. We wouldn't have to do that. We could just be robotic about it. Just go through life. But God has required us, I think, to have faith in Him and to trust Him when our explanations just won't suffice. And when others come to you with their explanations about life, but no. And then something else, God's mysteries go beyond our human intellect. Our ability to understand what is going on, the detail of this, what's going on. We're just going to have to be content with some mystery in life and realize that if we're consumed with all of these things, what will happen is that we'll miss the moment and we'll miss what God had for us in the present. So much that God has desired for our lives. And yet, so oftentimes, we spend our ever waking moment considering what went wrong. Why is this happening? Instead of enjoying life with those who are around us. Now, a last thought here I want to put before you. Isn't it interesting that Solomon brings this before the Lord? I don't know if this strikes you in the same way that it strikes me, but he's saying you can't figure all this out. You're not going to be able to wrap your mind around all of this, so enjoy the life. Don't be consumed with all the mysteries. Embrace the mystery with faith, believing that God will see you through to the end. But it's interesting that Solomon's journal reveals that life's most difficult questions are placed before God. He said, well, I'm with you there. Nobody ever thinks to stand before a fool or an idiot and say, what about this? No, it's God who's always taken to task, right? That's Solomon's bringing this before the Lord. No one comes before someone who doesn't have any sense and asks these questions. Why? Because they don't expect for that person to have any answers. But herein lies the tension. We believe there's a God. And because we believe He's able, we then make the next step, which sometimes is a very dangerous step. We believe that because God is able, that somehow He is obligated. And somewhere between God's ableness and this idea of obligation, somewhere in there, there's this great tension that grows in our heart because we come before God, who we know is able to give us an answer, able to just sort of, you know, take care of the matter. I mean, He could, right? But because He hasn't, we get upset with Him. We don't like that tension. Nobody would think to bring these great questions before someone who doesn't have any sense, but God has sense. And He is all wise, and He is all knowing, and therein lies the tension. Lord, why don't You do something? How do You allow this man to surface to the top when he's been living an unrighteous life? And how have You allowed this poor saint who's just lived a great life, and it seems like no matter how good their life has been, they've been dealt a bad hand. I have a dear friend who a number of years ago went through a divorce and never planned on it. He felt like if you get married, you get married for life. That's what he always dreamed. He took his time. He walked through through counsel and sought the Lord and believed that this was the right person. And certainly it seemed like that. It seemed like the two of them, their hearts were in tune with the Lord, but something happened along the way. And she got off track. Not only did she get off track, but life would dealt them a difficult hand because now here they have as a third child, a special needs child. And in most cases where families are raising a special needs child, the stress is sometimes unbearable and the marriage cracks and fractures and in most cases they separate. And yet he's tried to hold it together through all of these experiences. Just recently, a church invited him to come and speak with them about being on their staff and starting a community ministry, a mission in another state. And He was excited that a church would even consider him. This was not a divorce that he wanted. There's nothing that he planned to have happen in his life. He interviewed with them and he celebrated the fact that they would even talk to him. But as we visited about his life circumstance, he said, "You know, Joe, I never planned for any of this to happen. I wanted the right marriage. We didn't expect to have a child that would be born with special needs that would require care literally around the clock 24/7. And I could hear it in his voice, just that quivering, like, this is not what I wanted. He kept himself pure before marriage, did everything right. Right, you know, just a man of integrity. It seemed like, why would something like that happen to him? But it does. And it's happened to some of you, and it's happened to others, and you look at that and say, Lord, I don't know about all this. You just need to go back to what Solomon says here, and I close with this. Go back to what he says in verse 12. He said, "Yet surely I know that it will be well with them that fear God." There's a lot of things he says, "I don't know." But this one thing he says, "I know. I know it. It will go well for those who fear God." Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't let the difficulties of this life sideline you and keep you there permanently. Trust the Lord. Believe in Him. Let's pray. Father God, we come before You today, and Lord, we struggle with some of these very difficult issues. There are people here today that are, Lord, their life is, it's not what they wanted. It wasn't what they planned for. Lord, they were doing all the right things. It seems like anyways, they were doing all the right things. And wrong things happen. Father, I just pray that You'll give them strength and faith to endure, to stand firmly upon who You are and to believe that You are God, that You are capable and willing, Lord, to walk with them through it all. Through it all. And I pray that You will give them a gift of faith today that, Lord, and most recently they haven't possessed. And they've had a difficult time just keeping their focus upon You. And I pray, Father, today that You would renew their faith and give them strength for the battle that is raging in their life. Give them strength. Help them to come away with this positive truth that they can know You and walk with You and fear You and realize in the end You will take care of it all. You will. Lord, for those here today that they've considered their own salvation and they've wondered and Lord, they've come week by week and they've considered their own salvation and know that they do not know You, and yet they're not sure exactly what the next step should be. I pray today, Lord, that You would give them the gift of faith, that they would believe in You, and that today would be a born-again experience for them. Life will be transformed. And Lord, that You will touch them. Salvation will come to their heart, and Lord, it would spread to their home. Lord, for those here today that just need to renew their faith, And they've been away from You for a long time. Maybe they were sidelined by something that happened in their life, and they realize now that wasn't the right course of action that they took. But it's happened. It's happened. And so, Lord, they just want to confess it to You that they're ready to get on with life, the life that You've given them. And whatever way that's going to look like, they're ready to get on with it and to embrace it with faith, knowing that You're going to walk with them. Lord, I pray that You get them back on the track today, walking with You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen.